Thank you.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So Linda Bounds, Karen Bounds has made a motion to approve the director and staff activity report. Linda McDonald has seconded. Any further discussion?
I just had a real quick question on the roof work. When I was reading it, it still said late February or early March to do that. I was under the impression that would be more in the spring. Was that an incorrect impression, or where are they at with that? Because it's too early to be doing a roof. So
we are waiting for the contractor to give us a date for when they would start. And so they, you know, it gets warmer here sooner, sometimes in the spring. So we're going to let them make that call. But when we put that report together, it could have been February. Obviously, okay, we didn't make that date.
Because you need heating degree days before you put on a roof. So that wouldn't be very advisable. So just curious. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounce.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Yes. Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
Okay, passed. Thank you, everybody. Let's go to item 4, acceptance of January 2023 bills, attachment 4.1.
This is Stacy, so moved.
Thank you, Stacy. Do I have a second?
This is Kevin, I'll second.
Thank you, Kevin Latos. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, Stacy, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounce.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Oops, sorry, I lost my screen. Okay, let's go to January 2023 financial report, attachment 5.1. Rhonda.
Good evening, everyone. I'll highlight some of the things that are on your narrative for the financial reports. IHLS in the grant section has received the second half of the CMC and the OCLC funding in January. That's reflected on the statements in your packet. And so that makes those grants 100% received as far as their funds. And then in February, we received the last Live and Learn allotment payment for the System Area per capita grant, and also the second quarter expense reimbursements for the library trustee training grant. So those two payments will be reflected on next month's payments, but I wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. So thank you to the Illinois State Library for those payments. And then if we go on to the financial reports included in your board packet are for activities through January 31st, 2023. And so in the IHLS approved fiscal year 2023 budget column of the IHLS approved FY 2023 total budget remaining percentage column, the items showing expenses under the 42%, because that's where our target benchmark is, will be noted at the bottom of each statement of revenue and expenditure with explanations why that is. the general fund on the statement of revenue and expenditures. The total revenues are year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 27.5%. And the total expenses year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 16.5%. On the share, the fees for services and materials, the year-to-date actuals of $1,422,901.09 represents 93.9% of the projection in the fiscal year 2023 budget. And as of January 31st, we have collected 98.5% of that amount. On the total expenses, the year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 7.1%. So both revenue and expenditures are looking good for both the general and the share fund. And if we go on to the balance sheet and general fund, the cash and cash equivalents as of January 31st for general is $6,066,130.50. So that would be an estimated 15.6 months worth of operating cash for the general fund if we are basing it off of the fiscal year 2023 approved expenditure levels. And in share, their cash and cash equivalents as of January 31st is a total of $2,825,985.72. And that represents $1,277,230.54 in the reserves and $85,864.09 in the committed funds for ebook purchases and $1,462,891.09 in the operating cash. So that operating cash or unrestricted funds will fund share operations for approximately 9.1 months based on that fiscal year 2023 budget. And that is all I have for you tonight. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Do we have a motion to approve the January 2023 financial report?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Anne. Do we have a second?
Linda, I'll second.
Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Tiffany Dreggy.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
All right. Motion carried. Let's go to Freedom of Information Act update. Karen?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. Open Meeting Act update?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. Is there any public comment? No? Okay. Let's go to Board Learning Trustee Resources. Stacy?
Good evening, everyone. As you all know, we try to provide as many resources as we can for our trustees. We're always looking for new ways to help you all learn and be more comfortable in your role as trustees. There are short takes for trustees that are available for everyone to participate in. They cover such subjects as library advocacy, board ethics, and strategic planning. Those are available to you through, and I can't see, but there's a link there that you can register yourself and be able to. Do you see a link at the bottom there?
No.
See a link.
No.
Okay. Well, then I will send you all a link.
Short takes for trustees.
Okay. I'm ready for the next one. There are also trustee manuals available, Administrative Ready Reference 3rd Edition, Illinois Public Library Trustee Manual, trustee facts file third edition, and the trustee toolkit hiring a new library director. Those are all links there. So I have this, I'll have this PowerPoint in the board intranet, and then you'll be able to just click on those if you want to get to that information. There are also webinars and recordings available. Subjects like managing your records and the Local Records Act, that's always a lot of fun. Public libraries in Illinois, public library taxation, and administrative ready reference webinar. Thank you very much. If you all know of any other resources that I haven't mentioned here, please feel free to share them with me, and then I can share them with everyone else, and I'll continue looking for new ways to get information and learning to you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Stacy? All right. Let's go to Human Resources Staff Report Attachment 10.1. Do I have a motion to approve the staff report?
This is Kevin. I'll move to.
Thank you, Kevin. Do we have a second?
This is Kevin Latos. I'll second.
Thank you, Kevin. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Put your name on it.
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
You put your name on it somewhere.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. Leslie, we don't have any secondary employment, correct? Okay. Let's go to the Illinois State Library Report.
Actually, I have very little for you tonight. There's a lot going on here as we move through the transition with Secretary and his first 100 days in office. I think more will come up as we move into the State Library Advisory Committee meeting that will be held March 23rd, and we'll be reporting back to the system then.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Greg?
Greg, you didn't want to tell about the Secretary of State's announcement that he made at our ILSEC meeting?
Oh, sure. We can do that.
Okay.
So I was saving that for you. So at the last State Library Advisory Committee meeting, and it's not, his budget has not been formally introduced yet to the legislature. The dollar amounts were not in the budget presentation with the rest of the state simply because of this transition. But the secretary did meet with the State Library Advisory Committee at its January meeting and has given his support and commitment to a $5 million e-resource package for Illinois libraries and residents of the state. So we're very pleased with that. And so that is to be included in the final budget bills and numbers that move forward through the General Assembly for adoption.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Committee reports. I was not at executive, so I'm going to ask Loretta if she would mind talking about that.
I can talk about that. We did meet last Tuesday on the 21st. No big action was taken, but Leslie shared with us information about the Aspen Discovery layer for share libraries. Information about that, and I believe we've got more to come on that later in this meeting. Update on the planned moving forward on the Edwardsville roof, and then talked about the issues with obtaining new delivery vans. Oh, what a headache. which will come up later in this meeting too. And then Leslie reported that the space in the Champagne office is now being used by Carly, and all that work is complete. And then a quick update also on the automatic materials handler working group that they visited several libraries, or they had planned to visit some libraries. And then also the open board position. We talked about that. So those are the highlights.
Awesome. Thank you, Loretta. Does anyone have any questions? All right, let's go to budget and finance. Kevin?
Sorry, couldn't get my mouse over the unmute. We had what I would call a very efficient and quick meeting. I think it lasted 11 minutes. It was pretty perfunctory. We accepted the bills, and Rhonda went over the stuff with me, or with us, and that was it.
Okay, sounds good. Policy and membership, Stacy?
We did not meet this month, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ellen. I believe we will be meeting next month, correct?
Yes, we will. Next Tuesday, Stacy.
All right. How about facilities and operations?
We did not meet.
Okay. Personnel also did not meet. How about advocacy and education, Karen?
We didn't meet, but we do have a meeting tomorrow.
Okay, sounds great. Nominating, Leslie?
Thank you. There is no formal report in your packet. The nominating committee's meeting was actually this morning. The committee confirmed nominee availability for the March 15 ballot, and they will meet again on March 7 to finish the ballot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have a partner report for IELTS?
Yeah,
Josh, if it's okay, I'm going to do that tonight. The February meeting went smoothly. I have to tell you, if you don't already know, this working group is one of the best working groups statewide. It's a joy to meet with these people and hear all voices all around the table. It was a pretty regular meeting. Greg gave us, or a state update was given from the state library. There's always a discussion about collection of data on school libraries and how that is going statewide. And our Leah Gregory has gotten very involved with our colleagues at Rails in looking at that data. A round robin discussion was held on intellectual freedom issues that we're facing statewide, particularly schools, with information to make sure that when materials are challenged, that for this group, that IELTS, the Association of Illinois School Library Educators and ILA know about that. There were legislative updates. And then the most exciting thing, I think, is that this group in cooperation, and this is cooperation with IELTS, ILA, Rails, IHLS, and the state library, is planning a statewide training day for school libraries. And their tentative date for that is September 20th. 2023. So that's a great achievement on their part, and we're looking forward to more updates in March.
Awesome. Thank you, Ellen. Does anyone have any questions for Ellen? Okay. Ryan, how about ILA?
Thanks, Josh. Hello, everyone. So ILA held two online advocacy events over the last couple of weeks. One was aimed at librarians and library stakeholders. It was an updated version of the Ready, Set, Advocate module that has been on the ILA website that was developed during COVID. It was very well attended. Definitely some good information in there, even if you'd been through that module before, the updates and just the reminders. Were definitely worth the while. The second event dealt more with newly elected legislators. It was framed as a Libraries 101, bringing them up to speed with the library landscape in Illinois, informing them on some of the issues that are near and dear to our hearts. And the response there was also good. We had a good number of newly elected officials attend that, some good Q&A. So it was an encouraging event. One of the questions that came out of that first event dealt with that new proposed statewide database package. Greg, was that the funding you were referencing earlier? Okay, I thought so.
Yes, it is, Ryan.
Okay, so yeah, there were some questions that came out of that about what exactly that would look like. And of course, the details aren't set yet, but it is intended for that package to be a database-driven package, nothing to do with circulating ebooks or audiobooks. And Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That's correct.
Okay. Because of course, you know, we have concerns about long hold times and wait times and strains on digital collections. But this would be a more academic or more database driven package of online resources. I also do want to mention that we've got Reaching Forward South coming up in about 6 weeks in O'Fallon. It's a great professional development opportunity for frontline staff, part-time staff, and it's, well, if you're in the Metro East or Southern Illinois, it's much more local than any of the ILA annual events. And then, Greg, I'm going to call on you again about House Bill 2789, if you'd like to say anything on that, or if you'd like me to.
So there's a lot of modification that is occurring to House Bill 2789. So there has been a bill introduced which would require libraries to adopt a policy addressing book bans and the prohibition of such in order to be eligible for funding from the Secretary of State and Illinois State Library. That would impact the library systems as well because of the ebook collections that they hold in their name. There is very specific language that was moved to the Legislative Reference Bureau today regarding an amendment of that. And more information will be forthcoming. It's my understanding that the Library Association may have offered their support for that this afternoon. So,
thank you. Yeah, thank you for that update. And it's like in layman's terms, it's my understanding that libraries would need to adopt a prohibition against book banning policy in order to qualify for the per capita grant. Is that the baseline?
Per capita grant or any other grant that they might apply for, construction, whatever it may be. And it's really adoption. The amendment will clarify adopting the American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights within its policies, which, you know, don't prescribe to any form of removal of material once it's in a library collection, or development of a library's own policy that would be consistent with that purpose. The American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights is framed much in line with, you know, First Amendment rights and public institutions, meaning public libraries, public schools, public universities. There are private institutions which also receive funding from our office that may find it necessary to develop their own policy that would be consistent with that purpose.
Great. And as Greg mentioned, that this is a late developing situation here. So we'll get more information as the situation becomes clearer with that proposed legislation. Any questions about any of that, Linda?
I have a quick question. We may not have an answer at this point, but I'm just wondering, with the Secretary of State's proposed funding for electronic resources, do we know at this point if that is for all Illinois residents or if it's only for cardholders?
goal was that it would be extended to all residents.
Thank you.
I wanted to know the number of that bill that's going through the, I guess you said the House.
2789.
87?
2789. I put a link to it in the chat if you want to link out to it.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yep.
Are we looking at any, if this passes, are they looking at opposition or is there any thought process on this? Do they expect opposition or no? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I think it's too early to comment on that, on what, you know, it's been introduced and the final formation of it is to be released in the coming days.
Is it safe to say we're still very, very early on in the Schoolhouse Rock song about a bill?
Sure, because it still has to go to committee yet. Even,
yes. So. Okay, we're still in the first verse.
Yes.
Any other questions for ILA? All right, thank you all.
Thank you, Ryan. And how about ISLAC, Stacy?
Well, Greg gave our announcement about the Secretary of State asking for additional funding for us. As Greg also said, we have another meeting coming up at the end of March. Greg and Dave, the president, and myself will be meeting within the next week to finalize that agenda. Some of the things that we have been looking at are, you know, with, of course, the big e-database is making sure that people have adequate internet and then making sure that we're also serving the unserved. That's also been a big thing. And then bringing diversity into our ranks. So those are three of the things that we'll be looking at and possibly forming committees on and looking on what we can do to help those items.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. Any questions for Stacy? All right. Let's go ahead and move on to unfinished business. Carly, office construction. Leslie?
Thank you, Josh. So, As I think Loretta might have referenced earlier, all the construction is completed at the Champaign office. I thought it might be nice, and we can end it here this evening talking about the construction for moving Carly in. Sarah Taylor put this together. So just an overview, all the work started when they signed the contract with us in September 2022. If you recall, we talked about this late spring 2022. We worked with a company called A&R Mechanical Contractors to do the work. They also brought in an architect to do drawings and liaised with the city of Champaign for a permit. Basically what happened was as a reminder, we moved an office wall so that Carly had the entire southwestern corner of the building. They also built a 13-foot wall with an ADA accessible door. You'll see that in a second. And everything was completed January 2023. Next slide, please. So this is something that from a document that we shared with the board, I believe in May of 2022, maybe later. But if on the right-hand side, that's as you're coming, that lease space, that's the southwestern corner of our building. On the right of that is our entrance into our parking lot and then into our buildings from the east side of the building. So that what we're talking about again was right inside the door. And now we've got some little photos to show you, or might be big depending on your screen. Oops, sorry. Total cost for the project was came to $27,500 and a little bit of change. The investment from IHLS was $7,400, and that was the cost to move that wall, the door in the office. And then the rest was Carly's investment. So overall, a lot of bang for IHL's buck, so to speak. This is what it looked like as the construction was going on. Nothing really exciting at that point. then you can see on in this page or this slide where there was a door. You can kind of see that office behind the door on the right-hand slide. That's currently Pam Thomas's office and in Champaign. And then we put a wall up. As we moved that around, we did have, you see there's a photograph on the right-hand side or one of our Reed posters that we did at member day several years ago. Well, we had to take one down, and that was the one with yours truly, Ryan Johnson, on it. So now Ryan is the owner of his own photo or his own poster. So it found a home, and then this is what it looks like getting completed. And here's what I like, because it does impact our staff and it does impact our members, as well as Carly. This is about what the conference room looked like before. The furniture was dated, kind of crowded, maybe not the most functional. This is what it looks like now. We went ahead and painted a wall to add a little color. And then all of this furniture was Carly's meeting room furniture. And there's write boards and stuff on the walls, and then a big storage cabinet in the back. And I believe all the AV has been set up as well now. So we know that it works for Carly because they've already been having meetings in the space. And this is the outside and the door. The only thing left, and this is their office. You're going so fast. The only thing left to do is on the outside of their office, they ordered a glass plaque. If you would change the slide, please. It's on the floor, but eventually it'll be up on the wall. And there's a glass transom over their door. They wanted glass in there instead of wood, which is what the rest of our doors have. They have a wooden transom. So I think that's it. Yay, that's it. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? You're welcome to go by anytime you'd like. I'm sure our staff would be happy to show you what it looks like, but we are very happy with that small transformation. It's made a big difference. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the automatic material handler next steps.
Okay, Loretta beat me to this as well, which is great. The AMH working group went on 3 field trips or site visits in February. We went to, at the beginning, we went to St. Louis County, their new headquarters, to look at how they've implemented an AMH and what the things that they learned from that. Champaign Public Library was about 10 days ago. And then last Friday, we were at Decatur Public Library. The great thing about this is that we were able to, as our staff and members on that committee, were able to consider how an AMH would be, might be implemented here for IHLS. And so next steps are another meeting. So we're gonna talk about that next meeting pretty soon. Any questions?
Leslie, my understanding was that Champaign had discontinued use of their automatic handler. Is that not correct?
They have a new automatic handler. So, they started their new building, I think might be about 15 years old, Kevin. And yeah. They started with something that's a pneumatic driven machine or belt. That was rather noisy, and as you might imagine. So they modified that, and they now have an electric, I guess it's driven by electricity, more like current AMHs. But they have 2 ramps. One comes belts that can bring the materials down to the basement, one from outside and one from inside the library. So it's definitely there. It's a little different, though. So there might have been some downtime
in between that. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, let's go to new business. FY 2023 vehicle assessment attachment 15.1.
Thank you, Josh. Yesterday afternoon, we sent attachment 15.1. Did everyone receive it and had an opportunity to review it? I'm sorry for the delay in getting that to you. We wanted to make sure that with the information we shared with you, that it was as current as possible. Basically, that's an outline of the challenges that we've experienced in looking for vehicles to purchase off the Joint Purchase Master Contract, which is part of Central Management Services at the state. We did discuss this a little bit at last week's executive committee meeting. There are a lot of things that are kind of not working in our favor at the moment. A significant increase in sticker prices for vehicles, for commercial vehicles. There's a scarcity of vehicles to purchase on, in the first place. And then our own procurement procedures, all that's outlined. What we're asking you in the recommendation at the end of that document is for you to allow us to purchase delivery vehicles as an emergency purchase per the Illinois Procurement Code and the administrative rules for the Central Procurement Office. Our goal is not to come back to you with every vehicle, but instead to use our budget, the budgeted amount that we have available still in that line of the capital funds budget, to purchase as many vehicles as we can to continue to provide that service. Does anybody have any questions?
Have you thought about a different kind of vehicle? Because you said it was scarce. Or
yes, and we have looked at other vehicles. We've considered how much is available, how much those vehicles can carry, basically in terms of tubs or volume. There just are not, there aren't any great options right now. What we've also looked at, and we're not, the infrastructure isn't there for e-vehicles. That would be great because it would help us with our fuel costs. Right now, there's not enough, the vehicles don't have a long enough, a mileage enough on one charge to get us, you know, through a route. We don't know, you know, there might not be charging stations available, and those vehicles are also not available. So that's down the road. I definitely believe that's down the road and it's in our future. The technology is just not there for that. But yes, we have looked at other vehicles.
Are those cargo vehicles, are they becoming, I'm gonna say, extinct, for lack of a better word?
You know, I don't know that they're becoming extinct. I think that the other thing that's happening that we've heard from dealers offhand, you know, in anecdotally, is that car manufacturers have changed the way they produce vehicles. So there may not be a lot on a lot just waiting for you to see. And instead you have to place an order. And that order, you know, can take 6 months or longer. And I know that folks are experiencing that with their personal vehicles. So I don't know that they're extinct as much as that whole model seems to be evolving as to how you get it. We definitely still need those kind of vehicles to deliver. I mean, you see Amazon's got a shorter kind of a version of them. Other delivery providers do the same.
So you're not planning on ordering, you're planning on purchasing when you can.
And yes.
My follow-up on that is, what is your, and I know this is a ballpark, but what are you guessing from what you've seen? How many vehicles will you be able to get within this?
So we estimated originally, I think in the budget round, it was at $37.5 per vehicle. For a regular delivery.
33.5, eight of them at 33,500, okay. Plus a box truck, which the box truck, I think, from what John Beggars told me, will probably come in around that same budgeted price that we budgeted, even buying off of a lot. I don't think there's issues with the supply of that necessarily, but the cargo vans will probably be able to buy more like five within our budgeted amount.
And it's very possible, Anne, that we will not, thank you, Rhonda. It's very possible, Anne, that we may not be able to get brand new vehicles either. They may have low mileage on them, but that's better than not being able, since we keep them for up to 3 years and around 200,000 miles, that's better than not being able to replace something that has a lot of miles on it now. Other questions?
And we do need a motion for this, correct, Leslie?
That's correct, Josh.
Okay.
This is Stacy. I move that we accept the purchase under the Emergency Purchasing Act.
Thank you, Stacy.
Ryan, I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, Stacy, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Open board position. Unfortunately, Chastity Mays had to resign from the board due to some personal reasons. I do not have a recommendation to fill her seat yet. I did reach out to someone right before this meeting, and I'm hoping I'll have someone for next month. It will hopefully just be short term. So that's where I'm at with that. Or if anyone has anyone they think that would be a great public library trustee member of our board, please send them my way. So let's move on to Aspen Discovery for Share. I think Cassie's going to tell us more about that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Josh. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Give me just one moment. Okay, so this is some information about Aspen Discovery. And so what that is a new discovery layer. So our Polaris database has two layers. One is on the staff side of what the staff see to access our database. The other is on the patron side where the patrons would, you know, check their online account, be able to take, search the catalog and place a hold. And so Aspen is a system that is the overlay. So right now we have a system called PowerPack. It was something that came with the Polaris database. And 10 years ago, you know, it was a really great technology, but searching has evolved since then. And so this is a newer generation product. And so I just want to give you a little bit of information about it. The biggest benefit of this is the relevant search results. And so you can see here on the Maine Library Alliance, they actually are using Aspen. And so one of the examples that I had used was The Hobbit. And so you can see here, that's going to be number one, the actual book, The Hobbit. When we look in our power pack, we have to scroll. We're getting information about the special effects that were used in the movies before you actually come to the actual book. And so we see that a lot with different editions, and Colleen Hoover is a great one. She had a new book come out that was a prequel of a previous book, and that became really popular. Our current algorithm says that the last item cataloged is going to be the first result. And so what was happening is people were placing holds on that first result that might have only had 10 copies, whereas the main entry for the first edition, you know, had 100 copies and we had 100 holds. And so it just caused some patron confusion. And so Aspen Discovery, the biggest benefit is just a better patron experience. And so this is a video from Aspen. It's just a brief clip. Their full videos are on the Share website, and I will put that in the chat before we finish up today.
Aspen Discovery is a full featured system.
Sorry, did you guys lose that? I'm so sorry. Maybe. Let me try that again.
Aspen Discovery is a full-featured system that integrates with e-content and other third-party providers, giving your patrons comprehensive access to all of your materials in one place. So not only does it combine your library catalog with e-content or digital archives and even enrichment from all major third-party providers, it also improves relevancy, making it super easy to use and provides native reading recommendations and displays all of your titles within one result.
So that's just a brief clip of what the Aspen product does. So you can see here these browse categories. There's also the better search results. And then there's also what I call the bells and whistles. And so that is for instance, placards, you can actually use the Aspen system to promote your programs, to promote special services. So you can see some examples here. So there's a lot of customization that a library can do using this system. And so we opened this up for reservations. And so we had said that we needed the equivalent of 25 libraries at $2,500, but we opened it up at different price points. And I just told our libraries that we needed them to reserve their spot to express their commitment to this new product based on what they thought that they could afford, that their library budget would support. And so we have gotten those reservations in. And so in the process, we're digging through that data. I checked it again today because we've been getting those reservations consistently. We had 100 members that have committed to the program, raising $71,750. So this was much bigger of a response than I even expected. And so with that, it seems that quite a few of our members are really on board for this product. And so we will be taking this to the Share Finance and Policy Committee to see how we can make this available for as many Share members as possible. So does anybody have any questions about Aspen for me?
So is this replacing Polaris, or it's an add-on?
It's an add-on to Polaris. It's basically an overlay of the Polaris database on the patron side. So the staff side will be exactly the same. The data that we've put in is going to still run on Polaris. It's just what the patron sees when they're searching our catalog.
So would only those 100 have access to this, or is it available to everyone?
Well, and that's going to be the big question, because when we put this out for member comment, we did have some members that really expressed that they did not want to see their share fees raised because of this new technology. And so that is something that the Share Finance and Policy Committee is going to have to reckon with, whether we move forward as a group. And I think that we do have the commitment now from our members that there's a big enough response to this that I think that we can, but we still have to reckon with the fact that we don't necessarily want to burden some of our smaller members with prices they can't afford. So that's a fine line that we always have to, try to meet everybody where they are.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, but my concern is we would then have stratified member.
Yes, that is a huge concern.
Really want to avoid that if we could.
Sure.
To me, it makes sense that members who are willing to do it, great, but they should understand that everybody gets it. So.
Well, the cost of share went up, and I think that some people put in saying they were interested to see how this all mapped out. So that doesn't necessarily mean, means depending on the price, what can happen. I've seen what it can do, and it's good. I mean, it's really great if it will do what it says. But I'm like Kevin, share has gone up. I think it should be part of the service, because I have small libraries around me that can't afford.
If it's part of the service, though, that means inevitably that our rates are going to go up. But I do want to just say our share fees have not increased. They've not increased for 3 years. We are in the process of reviewing them again, but the actual fee scale. Now, some libraries might have seen an increase or decrease based on their revenues or student enrollment, but our fees have been stable for the last 3 years.
But you know, I was looking at the financials for Share just a little bit ago. They look strong. It feels mm-hmm. like this could just be a budgetary item, if nothing else. I'm not really convinced in this opt-in model. I appreciate that libraries are willing to do it, but to me, this is just a budgetary item. And the value of it, to me, it's really obvious. So right. I don't want to limit it to just 100 libraries or whatever. I want everybody to have this, regardless right. of where they're at. So I don't know how we could fit it into the budget, but I'd sure like to find a way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
And I agree with, because with IHLS and then the share fees, and then it's a good way to get the foot traffic in, to it's a good way just to bring in member, or I mean people who will use our library more and make it accessible to all age groups. So I agree with Kevin. I think it needs to be incorporated within, and there shouldn't be discrimination of whether you can afford it or not.
Well, and I have to say that we have heard that feedback from some of our members. And one of the things that when we were looking at this product, we knew a lot of our larger libraries had been requesting something like this. However, when you know you see 100 of our member libraries are interested, that's a significant portion, but we have 344 agencies. And so I think that in that sense, it's still only about a third of our members. And so again, it's just the Share Finance and Policy Committee will have to look at all of the different options before we make a final decision.
To me, this is what we are all about, mm-hmm. is making it possible for people to have better access to the materials that they want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just a no-brainer from that perspective. The only question is, how do we pay for it?
And that's really a question for the Share Board, correct?
Yeah, that is something that the Share Finance and Policy Committee will make a recommendation and go to the Share Executive Council.
However, I do want them to hear me saying this is valuable.
Sure. And I've been taking notes, and I will absolutely bring that back to the Share Finance and Policy Committee. Again, when we first offered this, we had no idea how many of our libraries would be supportive of this. We put it out for member comment and only got a handful of responses back. Once we finally launched it, again, if it was the same response of, 20 or 30 libraries, it would be a different conversation than now we're seeing 100 of our libraries saying that we want this. So it's definitely something to consider.
I think the reason people wouldn't want it is just financial. It's not right. That they wouldn't want the service. So how do we make it viable for everyone?
Right.
That's the question that comes to me.
Well, and this is Ryan, building off of what Kevin just said, and I agree with Kevin and Anne. I think if we can find a way to make this not an add-on, but make it part of a standard package, that is ideal. And I will say Aspen's a very good product. I had the privilege of sitting in on some of those early demos, and it does what libraries need it to do. But Cassandra, do you anticipate any libraries not wanting this? Finances aside, any libraries who are comfortable with what they've got, they know what they've got, their staff knows how to use it, their patrons know how to use it, and they don't want to have to retrain everyone on this new tool?
That is possible, especially some of our special libraries felt pretty, I don't want to say pretty strongly, but they just didn't see it as a need. But that's such a small segment of our population that we, again, just need to have those discussions with our committees to find out where we're going.
And I think from a technical side, I think we probably all have experienced something where like Gmail or Office will offer you the new look, or you can revert to classic. Like, would we be able to support agencies who, for whatever reason, wanted to remain on the standard catalog?
Yeah, they would have that choice. Absolutely.
Okay.
As the special library representative, I think you just need to kick us in the butt and tell us we need to get on board.
Does All anybody right. else have any questions?
No, I just think if you do a good look at your finances and purchases and things, you can probably whittle out some funding to help this cause.
It's $60,000. It's not a big number.
Or, and Rhonda just told us we have plenty of money, so we might as well just spend it.
And Rhonda, yeah, exactly.
Great.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's go to agenda building. Does anyone have anything they would like to talk about next month?
I would just like to, we talked about evaluations and they've redone the evaluation systems and quarterly things, but I didn't see anything about the evaluation instrument for the director. I don't think I've ever seen it. So I'd be interested in knowing what that instrument is or if there is one.
I think because Leslie has a different type of evaluation to the rest of the staff, we do what we're doing as the process will be what we've been doing as a board.
Right, but there should be an instrument for the board to use to do that process. So I take it there is no instrument where we have. Is that correct?
Stacy, your mic's, I think you're talking, but your mic's off.
Leslie, go ahead and answer because I think we're going to say the same thing.
Okay, sure. So there is an instrument, and you get the documents for that as part of the when you're invited to complete the, it's, we use SurveyMonkey, but that's just the mechanism that we use for having the board evaluate the executive director. In fact, the process was approved by a prior board. I want to say 2014 or 15. Is that Karen Bounds? Like, if you're still here,
I'm, I want to say it's around there. Remember, I've slept since then.
But you were on the board, so I remember that. With you being involved in that. So it was brought to the board, and there was a considerate discussion about it several years ago. So, but I am certainly happy to share with everybody the document or the documents that we use, and we were following that same practice that was approved by the by a prior board.
Well, if it's 8 years old, then just looking at it and maybe tweaking it or updating it might be advisable because they do need to change over time. They can't remain the same. So, but I'd like to see it.
Didn't we all receive that when we did the evaluation this last cycle?
Yes. Okay, it will go out in May, the end of May, and then Josh will send it out.
Okay. I just remember doing it while covering the front desk because we had a rash of turnover at the time. So it stuck in my brain.
Anything else? Okay. Is there any other public comment? Announcements. If you are interested in doing some online ILA training, please check your email. Stacy sent out a few things for trustees. And I have a big announcement. As of last Tuesday, the Lewis Latzer Memorial Public Library in Highland, Illinois is a fine-free library. So I've been working on it for a couple years and I finally
convinced about time.
Yeah. So yeah. That's my big announcement. Anyone have anything else? No, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You have it.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Kevin, Kelsey. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and I'll talk to some of you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Bye.